Let's see. Last time we were talking about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who is devoid of any physical form. That Hashem has this unbelievable pshitus min hachomer legamri, totally detached from physicality, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kadosh, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nivdal. He's set apart. He's echad in a way that is different than all others. But of course, as we started to point out, the Torah, and we're just going to go back a couple of lines, the Torah is a reflection of Hashem himself. So therefore, it makes a lot of sense to us that the Torah also has to be completely disconnected from physicality. Now, of course, the obvious question is, what do you mean? Torah, again, manifests itself as the shofar, the lulav and esrog, the tefillin. Shofar has many objects of this world. The Torah manifests itself in the form of animals that are injuring one another, in the form of a human being, whether it's the woman's menstrual cycle or it's the kosher food that we put into our body. There's so many physical manifestations and expressions of Torah that it's hard to say about Torah that it's totally disconnected from physicality. So that's what we need to figure out tonight. It's easier to say last time, like we did, that Hashem is nivdal, Hashem is abstract, is distinct, is set apart, is kadosh. Hashem is, again, disconnected from any physicality. It's easier for us to grasp such an idea. But the Torah is something you can hold, you could touch. Again, it applies in the real world. Aval Torah b'ma shehi gezeras Hashem yisbarach eina nismeches al shum davar. V'chochma b'vad v'hi Torah kadosha. Just like we explained that Hashem is kadosh, so too the Torah is the Torah hakadosha, which means that the Torah is chochma in its purest form. It is not dependent upon anything. So obviously, again, that begs the question. And the fact that you'll tell me the opposite is true, that Torah is always osek in dvarim gashmiyim, and that's exactly what Torah does. It gives depth and meaning to the mundane. Is that, club? That doesn't in any way undermine the purity, the distinct nature of Torah. Why? Ki ilu haya mitzvah haTorah beinyan zeh. Remember, we saw these lines at the end last time. That if you were to believe that the Torah is teaching us the halachos of an ox, and that is emanating, that is demanded of us, coming from the essence of the ox, so then ein hachanami, then the Torah would be manifest within physicality. But it's not that the ox is what demands us to follow these rules. It's not a deep understanding of the ox that demands us, this is the halacha of a shor, this is the halacha of a chamor, this is the halacha of X, Y, or Z. As again, on a natural level, that's how we would understand of the ox, would manifest itself with expressions of this is the essence of an ox, this is how an ox is. That's how we understood Torah and mitzvot, then haya efshar lomar kach. Then in fact, you would say that Torah is very much rooted in the physical world. But that's not why we keep the halachos of a shor or a chamor, or a boar or a fire. And again, those are just the Bava Kamma examples. The fact that these rules are the rules of Hazeh emanate entirely from the Creator. Hagozer gzeiras haTorah al Adam sheyinahag kach v'yinahag kach. Rather, it comes from Hashem who decrees that a human being should act as this, or a human being should act like that. In other words, going back to the Gzeiras HaMelech theme that we had in so many of the earlier Prakim, primarily in Parak Vav, that the king decrees, and that's why it's so. And therefore, davar ze nismach al davar gashmi. And therefore, it's not rooted on any true level. It's not rooted, it's not dependent upon any physical expression. Again, I think I mentioned last time, over Sukkot, I was sharing an idea from Rav Elia Meir Bloch from Telz. How the Torah as we have it in this world is rooted in the Torah in much higher realms where it has no physical form. The fact that, again, the fact that we have tefillin as a black box, square, strapped to your arm is how we experience tefillin. But the supernal concept of tefillin is devoid of any physicality. Take, for example, the concept in Chumash of the body parts of Hashem, right? The Yad Hashem, the eyes of Hashem. This past week's parsha, we had the heart of Hashem. Hashem had a change of heart. And it uses the term the heart of Hashem. Right? The Etzba Elokim. What are these things? The Zroa. The Zroa and the Tuya. Does Hashem have an arm? Does Hashem have a leg? Does Hashem have any of these things? The answer is no. Hashem doesn't have a body. So we make a mistake and we learn the sugya backwards. What do I mean? We look at our hand, we say, this is a hand. And the idea of Yad Hashem is that Hashem has something that is similar to this, similar to my hand. No, that's backwards. There's a supernal concept, there's a divine concept called Yad. It has no physical form, it has no physical expression. How does Hashem allow us to begin to taste, to grasp that lofty spiritual concept, that transcendent concept called Yad, by giving us a Yad? Right? So this is not the Iker Yad, and Hashem's Yad is just the Mashal. No, this is the Mashal. Our hand is the Mashal. The real Yad is what? The real Yad is some concept in Shemayim, and we're able to grasp it through its physical expression down below. So there's a concept in Shemayim called Shur Shanaga Chasapara. That manifests itself in this world as an ox that injures a cow, and the halachas that follow suit. But to understand that it's not rooted in the physical world, it's rooted in the Gezeiras HaMelech, it's rooted in the higher realms. Ki mitzvas haTorah gezeira min Hashem yisbarach mitzar amitaso. That it's the amitos, the truthfulness of the divine decree that makes it so. Ukamo she'arachnu lamala, again, as I've explained prior in Parak Vav. V'harei haTorah seichel bilti nismach el adavar. And therefore the Torah is seichel. The Torah is the intellectual ideas, abstract ideas. Seichel, earlier in the Sefer, meant neshama, neshamadik ideas. God forbid to think that the be-all and end-all of the lulav is the palm branch in your hand. That's just how we as human beings connect to a spiritual concept called lulav. That's how we tap in. Lefishi gzeras Hashem yisbarach. Ulefichach. Af ki ha-mitzvos heim bidvarim gashmiim. Even though it appears to us that the mitzvos, again, manifest themselves in physical reality, ein lahem yichus. There's no true connection el agashmi. Acher sheheim ein amitzara davar agashmi, rak shzeras hamelech la'ol alav. It's a responsibility, it's a yoke that's been placed upon us by the King of Kings. And yes, while on a certain level, obviously the Torah expresses itself in the physical world, but we can't think of it that way. We have to think of our involvement with Torah as tasting something from beyond this world and fulfilling the gzeras hamelech. Okay, so now let's go further. And this is the question that we always talk about after Shir. Jake, this is our post-Shir question that we talk about every week. So you'll ask the question, I don't want to sit in front of a Gemara. I want to go outside and I want to look at the beautiful world. And I want to see God in the world. I actually just saw that one of the Tzaddikim Lubavitch said that what is Chasidus? Chasidus is Kriya Shema. Chasidus is Shema. A bold statement. The essence of Chasidus is Shema. What is Shema? Shema is Rashi Tevos, Se'u Marom Einechem. Lift your eyes to that which is above. The way that Avram Avinu did. Avram Avinu walked outside. Avram didn't pick a book off of the shelf. Avram walked out into the real world and saw the beauty of creation. And he said, I see God in this. So why can't we do that? And the answer is, of course, we can do that. Why is that a lesser way to discover Hashem? Again, we're learning Tiferes Yisrael. We're learning about the grandeur of Torah through Torah study and mitzvah performance. So why can't I access Hashem in that way? Or again, you can access Hashem in that way. Let me say it differently. You can access Hashem in that way. Why is that of a secondary nature to the study of Torah itself? Va'af imata omer shagam kin efshar shia ma'ayenu meisig b'seder asher sider Hashem yisbarach asanim tzom kulam. Why can't I meditate upon creation itself, upon all of the things of the world, and come to know Hashem in that way? Why can't I just study the ox as an ox? I go to the zoo, I study the ox, and when I understand the nature of this beast as opposed to other creatures, I'll come to understand the seder, the order of creation. And that reflects the Creator. What's wrong with coming to Hashem in that way? Why is that a lesser way to know Hashem? Chiluk yesh, says the Maharal, there is a distinction to be made. Why? Ki oso seder hu ba'atzmo, heima dvar matachtonim asher bara Hashem yisbarach v'sider osam. It's true, if you start from the bottom up, you can come to the flower, you can come to the ox, you can look at the stars, and you can come to recognize their beauty and their perfection and the way that they've been placed within the world, and you'll come to trace through the stars, through the ox, through the flower, the blade of grass, through the human heart, through whatever it is in the real world, you could follow that trail and it leads you back to Hashem. That's true. But what are you studying? Where's your point of contact? Right? What am I studying? I'm studying something of this world. I'm studying a created being. I'm studying something which by definition is chaser. It's the animal that's going to die. It's the flower that's going to wither. It's the heart that one day is going to stop beating. V'sof sof ha'saga hi ba'osma dvarim v'seder kiyuma. Because sof kol sof, I'm still studying the order of that thing. V'af ki Hashem yizbarach sidro osam. And of course, yes, 100%. We know that Hashem was the one who created that order. That's true. Nonetheless, harei ha'seder hazeh shayach la'atzmam shal osam advarim. But the seder, again, if I approach it only from the object or from the being, from the creature, right? So then I'm studying the seder as it manifests itself in its lowest form, which again I could climb that ladder back up to its highest form, masha ein kach b'torah. But when I study it from the top down, when I go to the source, when I go to its essence, namely the Torah that demands that it's so, right? Masha ein came main kach b'torah. When I study the Torah, af vaday. Even though, yes, the Torah will, of course, express itself and give order to my physical life in the world. As we learned earlier, the Torah will guide me in how to use the physical world. But ein seder hazeh shekach roi lasos la'adam shubal chomer v'geshem. It's not, again, it's not man who demands that the order is such. After all, man is flesh and blood. Man is a bal chomer. Man is gashmi. Adarab. Kol haTorah hi la'ol ala adam. We're going to explain this very beautifully in a second. The Torah is a yoke that is placed upon man. Man is not saying, my being is best served by Torah, from the perspective of man. No. You're a servant. You work for Hashem. Hashem has placed this upon you. It happens to fit perfectly with your life. Right? The suit is tailor-made. It fits perfectly. But don't think, oh, so therefore it's me that demanded, it's my being that demanded that it should be this way. No, Hashem made it this way. Wear it as a perfect fitting suit, a tailor-made suit, but it's also an ol, it's a responsibility. It's a burden. It's a yoke that's been placed upon you. I don't like the word burden, it's not a nice word. It's a yoke, it's a responsibility that's placed upon you from the Creator. U'me'achar sha'atorah hi la'ol ala adam gashri. And since the Torah was given to you in a way that it's imposed upon you, again, not in a negative sense. Im kein ein haseder misyaches ela gashmi klal. Therefore, this order is not misyaches. It's not dependent upon you. We have to always take a step back and say, why do I keep Torah and mitzvos? Not because it makes my life great. Not because it gets me a lot of schar and olam haba. Not because it's the most meaningful, productive way to be a human being. No. On the most basic level, those are all true. But that's the afterthought. The Iker is the King of all kings. Declared it, he created this order and has imposed upon me to live by this order. Where do we see this? Let me explain this idea a little bit based on a Maharal in his commentary on Chumash, his super commentary on Rashi, the Gur Aryeh. He writes in Shmos Perek Yud Tes, which of course is Kabbalah Satorah, he writes that, why did Hashem put a mountain over us into Torah? Right? And Tosfos' question is very strong over there in the Gemara and Shabbos. Tosfos raises the question, the Jewish people said Nasa v'nishma. We want the Torah. We chose the Torah. And then Hashem threatens us, I'm going to drop this mountain on your head if you don't take the Torah. We already said yes. We already signed up. Why did Hashem have to force us into it? The Maharal says, because Torah had to be imposed upon us as what? As being of necessity. It's not about you choosing it. It's not about it being good for you, even though it's great for you. It's the best for you. You have to wear it first and foremost as a yoke. And by Hashem imposing it upon you, it's not a punishment. It means that Hashem has made it His way of directing the world, not your way of directing the world. Now again, on a certain level, those are exactly the same. Because if you live your life perfectly in accordance with Torah, that's exactly how Hashem wants you to live your life. So it is a perfect fit. But we have to think of it as what? As something that Hashem has placed upon us. And therefore when I fulfill it, I'm not serving myself, I'm serving God. That's the difference. I'm not serving myself. I'm not doing something which is good for me because it's good for me. I'm doing it because the King of all kings was Gozer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a decree. Yes, it fits perfectly with our seichel, with our neshama. But if we were to, what does he mean by that? If we were to approach it from the zeh, if we were to approach it from the things of this world, then we wouldn't have this order. Again, on the surface it looks the same. I can study the ox and understand how perfect the ox has been created. I could look at it from Hashem's perspective and see how perfect the ox has been created. The rules stay the same no matter how you look at it, but it's a very different perspective. Do I see the halachos above a kama emanating from the ox? Or do I see the halachos above a kama emanating from the creator of the world? V'kvar amarnu lacha, I've already explained to you, going all the way back to the second parak. Now again, he's going to come back to this point, which is what, as we conclude this parak. I've told you, it is a perfect fit. It does fit with a person, and a human being has been given the greatest opportunity to experience Torah at its root. Ki haTorah shi seder maisa adam, asher yasa adam heim sichliyim. Again, going back to this idea that the actions that a person performs in this world in accordance with Torah are in fact sichli, are neshamadik, are abstract, are transcendent. Ki im sha adam hu misyaches el hateva. Again, I run into the same problem. So what am I? Am I part of Hashem or am I a human being of flesh and blood? I seem to be a mix of both. And the answer is, you sort of are a mix of both. Even though a person seems to be misyaches el hateva, adam yisodo me afar v'sofa la'afar, you come from the dirt, you're going to go back to the dirt. Mikol mako maisav bilti misyachsim el hateva. But when a Jew performs a mitzvah, even though it looks like, again, it looks like he's engaging the world, he's following the halachos of reaping his field, or planting his field, or again, strapping that black leather box made from an animal hide to his body, it's so chava when we see it as nothing other than what? As harnessing teva. It's so much more than teva. Again, this is just a point of connection to something that is totally spiritual. Kamo she'arachnu ma'od v'havein davar zeh. Understand this concept very, very well. That when a Jew performs mitzvahs, he's involved in pu'ulos elokios. Yes, he needs the tools of this world. He needs the lulav, he needs the shofar, he needs the tefillin. But what he's experiencing really is what? What he's experiencing is something which is lamalam and ateva, a term we haven't seen in a while, but takes us back to the beginning of the Sefer. Ve'im kein, hatorah hi seichel gamor. So therefore, just like Hashem is what? Is non-physical, the Torah, even though it looks like it exists in a very real way in this world, the Torah is also seichel gamor. It's entirely neshamadik. This is the Torah that preceded creation. Uvishvil tamze tikra haTorah or. Therefore, says the Maharal, and the Ramchal writes this in one of his svarim, the best mashal that we can give for Torah is light. Why is light such a good mashal for Torah? Because light, on the one hand, is so real, is so tangible, impacts our life in such a direct way, and yet we don't really know how to make contact with it. The same way that Hashem is supposed to be so real in our life, because He is, and yet I can't hear Hashem, I can't touch Hashem, I can't see Hashem. It's like the light that fills this room right now. I'm sitting in a room, this room is filled with light. I can't grasp it in my hand. I don't really understand how it works. Right? It's so real, and yet it's also so out of reach. So the Torah, on the one hand, is so real. That's part of the beauty of the Torah, that it does find its way, like the light that fills every nook of this room. So too, the Torah fills every bit of physical reality. And yet at the same time, it remains transcendent. It remains somehow beyond this world. Shenemar ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or. Torah is compared to what? To a light. Why is a mitzvah a ner and why is Torah or? What's a ner and what's an or? Or is the light itself. The ner is the candle. Or maybe even the candelabra, with the oil and the wick and the flame. So that fire on top, that ball of fire sitting on top of the candle is also rather wondrous. It seems like a very spiritual thing, but it's grounded, it's connected to the wick, to the oil, to the kli. A mitzvah is more limited in the sense that it's connected to the kli, but Torah is just the light. Torah is the or. Perish ki ha-mitzvah pratis hikamo ner shuhu prati. A singular mitzvah is like a ner, which is more limited, which has, again, more of a defined form, the amount of oil that's going to allow it to continue to burn. V'hatorah b'chlala hi or gadol. But the Torah in its generality, the Torah in its entirety, is an Or Gadol, is an awesome light. Va'or hu rachok min hagashmi yoser min haner. And while the Ner, again, also radiates light, but it's more grounded, again, in physicality. It's attached to a wick. It's attached to oil. B'pnei katnuso shehu ner yechidi. Ein bo madregas ha'or kol kach. The Ner doesn't have the same energy, right? The light of the sun, which is shining from so far away, and you can feel it on your face on a warm day, right, is much more lofty than the candle which is lighting up the room. Aval ha'or she'eino davar prati. But the Torah, which is not a davar prati, yesh lo madrega yoser, it's an even higher level. Uhu pashut yoser. Pashut in this context doesn't mean simple, but pashut means it's even more abstract, it's even more transcendent. It's that much more elevated. V'lakach ha'Torah bechlal la'seichel pashut yoser, she'ein ha'Torah hasagos mechulakos, kol mitzvah u'mitzvah b'fnei atzma, rakol ha'mitzvah sheba, mischabrim el muschol echad pashut. If you want to understand the Torah properly, it's not a combination. It's not the sum total of its parts. It's not 613 individual ideas that somehow create a beautiful system that works well together. But at its essence, the Torah is one. It's mischabrim el muschol echad pashut. It's just one soulful being. It's one soulful idea. The Torah is one entity. Why is it that if a single letter is missing from a Sefer Torah, it's puzzle? Chaver, why is that? If a single letter is missing, so what's wrong with the rest of the Torah? Let the rest of it go on. No, every bit of it is dependent upon every other bit of it. The same thing is true as Jews. We appear on the surface to be different. Right? We appear to be different human beings. But on the level of soul, we're all mamish one. There is no distinction between you and me. The Maharal writes in his Perash on Pirkei Avos, this is the idea of mitzvah goreres mitzvah. Why is it that one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah? How does one mitzvah lead to another mitzvah? What does this mitzvah have to do with that mitzvah? Right? Person does this mitzvah, and then he does that mitzvah. Two different worlds, these two mitzvahs. Right? Again, sometimes you understand the pattern, but sometimes you do one mitzvah, and then you perform, it leads to a totally unrelated mitzvah. Unrelated is a word that doesn't make sense in the context of Torah. Every mitzvah is related. Every letter is connected to every other letter. That's why when we finish reading the Torah, the last letter of the Torah, we show that it's connected to the first letter of the Torah. But when we start the Torah over, we're saying the thing that looks, these two letters which look farthest apart, are actually connected to each other in a very intimate and deep way. Ulefichach, in conclusion, kol ha-Torah tikra or. Therefore, the entirety of the Torah is called or. Shu pashut yoser. This one awesome light. This one clear and transcendent, abstract light. Of ala mitzvah, but each individual mitzvah, shehi asagi yechides, if I look at it as it stands alone, ve'ein muschol ha-mitzvah yechides pashut kol kach, lefi godel ha-muschol, it's not as ve'lakach ha-mitzvah nikra ner. Therefore the mitzvah is called a ner, again the candle which is grounded in a physical garment, a kli, a wick, oil, etc. But the Torah is or. Even though I have another pshat about ner and or and Torah and mitzvos coming up in Perek Yudalid, we'll get there when we get there. I have more to say about this, he says. But nonetheless, this idea that Torah is called or indicates this idea. Ki haTorah muschal pashut yoser mikol. Because the Torah is the most freed. Again, it's ironic. Again, let's just put the pieces together. We started off by saying that Hashem has no form whatsoever. Hashem is Kadosh, Hashem is Nivdal. Hashem is totally devoid of any physical expression. The Torah, which parallels Hashem, the wisdom of Hashem, also is devoid of any physical form. The question is, but the Torah is all about physical reality. That's true only from the human perspective. The same way that the Torah seems to fit our bodies perfectly, fit our human experience perfectly. But that's the wrong way to look at it. Kafa Leim Har Kegigas. Hashem put a mountain overhead and imposed it upon us, saying that, no, these are my rules. This is coming from on high. It's an aura that transcends. And therefore, just like what? Just like just like Hashem himself has no physical form, the Torah, again, in at its root, is an aura. It has no physical form. It's a muschal pashut, yoser mikol. It is more abstract than anything of all. Shelakach nikreis Torah or. Uvedavar zehim yuchedes mibein shar hasagos. And again, in this way, the Torah is more elevated than any other study. And again, this is all part of his general response to the philosophers. The the philosophers who wanted to say, why are we wasting our time studying oxen and studying fields and studying Erevin? Why are we studying these things? Study more abstract, lofty things. Study angels, study constellations. And the answer is no. If you study Torah properly, you're not studying an ox. You're not studying a string that turns a rishus, one rishus into a different type of rishus. What you're studying is the sugya of God. That's what we're studying. Okay, and therefore he says, "Varei lecha gimel dvarim berurim kasher tavin advar me'ela." So now we have sort of three explanations as to why the Torah is the greatest of all. In summation, let's just sum them up. Number one, we said that the Torah is the Yosher HaGamor. Right? We spoke a lot about that Indian of Torah being Emes and being Yashrus. It's absolute straight truth. Secondly, we spoke about the fact that the Mishpatei HaTorah are from Hashem. That they're from Hashem. It's a Gzeras HaMelech. And therefore, for that reason, they have no connection to physicality, as opposed to studying an angel, which is very lofty, but compared to Hashem and the Torah, actually has a connection to physicality, even though compared to our physical bodies, an angel is very abstract, very transcendent. But compared to Hashem, it actually has more of a physical form. And lastly, since the Torah is connected to the Maisa HaAdam, in the sense that what? That an Adam is sichli, if understood properly, so it's for that reason the Torah is elevated above everything else. Okay, the second and third reason are really one and the same in a certain sense, as he explains here in the footnotes of the edition I have here, and we'll continue to elaborate on it in the next parak. But again, this is all a response to the philosophers who say, why are you studying Torah? Why are you wasting your time with the petty details of Torah? And again, the Maharal is telling us it's the greatest thing of all. If you just approach it with the right perspective, it is utterly transcendent and totally devoid of any physical limitations. And that's what makes Torah great. That's the infinity of Torah. And that's why it brings us to the infinite reward of Olam Haba. Okay, I'm Khan. We made it. Baruch Hashem. Perek Yud Aleph. Okay. Baruch Hashem. All right.